On today's show, recapping what was a very entertaining Week 11 in the SEC that saw Georgia's undefeated season roll on, bad offense from Arkansas and LSU into overtime, an utter second-half collapse by Auburn, a big home win for Ole Miss, Bama looking more like Bama, and is Dan Mullen trying to get fired? Our winners and losers from Week 11 is coming up. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And what's happening, everybody? Welcome to Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. I'm Chris Gordy. Thanks for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and at LockedOnSEC.com. Well, before we get to our winners and losers of the weekend, we do have to get to the big news that came out last night. Auburn, despite suffering their worst collapse in program history, the bigger news for them as they have lost their quarterback, Bo Nix. News coming out that Bo Nix out for the remainder of the regular season after sustaining a broken ankle in the second half against Mississippi State. Nix confirmed the news on his social media accounts, announcing he will undergo surgery today. Nix posted, "Bones break and things change, but God is always the same." Of course, late in the game, we saw TJ Finley come in at quarterback. TJ Finley will now be the Auburn quarterback moving forward to finish out this season. Not great news for Bo Nix or Auburn fans, and it was a mixed bag this year. Some roller coaster rides, ups and downs for Bo Nix. Bo, wish him the best of luck in his recovery and see if he is back next year with Auburn. Nix currently ranks third all-time in Auburn history in career passing yards, second in career pass attempts, and second in career completions. All right, let's get into our winners of the weekend.
Winner. And now, your winners of the weekend.
Real winners win.
And we start where we normally start with this thing, and that is with the Georgia Bulldogs defense playing in a hostile environment. A Georgia defense held a pretty good offense out of the end zone for much of the game. The Vols went down in their opening drive, scored a touchdown. It did add another touchdown in the fourth quarter when the game was already out of hand, but the Bulldogs got yet another dominant victory, beating the Vols 41-17 in Knoxville. The Georgia defense, 6 sacks on the day. Channing Tindall getting 3 of them. N'Kobe Dean continues to be one of the best linebackers in the country. He led the team with 11 tackles and a sack. Darian Kendrick had an interception. Travon Walker had recovered a fumble. The Georgia defense just continues to lead the country in points allowed, giving up just over 7 points a game now. That went up with giving up 17 this week, but they only allow 246 yards per game. That is second in the nation behind Wisconsin. Bulldogs now get a cakewalk the rest of the way. They get Charleston Southern, God help them, and then they play at Georgia Tech. So Georgia's going to be heading to Atlanta undefeated at 12-0. They're probably going to be taking on Alabama. We'll get to that in just a second. But look, this was Tennessee's chance. And if you're a Vols fan, you may be kicking yourself saying, look, we made mistakes. We were kind of in this one. We were scoring points. We were moving the ball. But at the end of the day, Georgia just does what they do. They keep you out of the end zone. And, a couple times it's like, man, should we go for it here on fourth down? Should we kick a field goal? And I get the feeling, but, again, Georgia just continues to do what they do. They remind me so much of those Alabama teams in recent years where they just don't give up points. You know, there's times where you could have moved the ball on Bama's really good defenses, first down. They let you move the ball between the 20s. But once you get into the red zone, they just tighten up, and it's hard to score touchdowns on them. And that's what this Georgia defense is. So props to them. Another winner of the weekend. How about Will Rogers? The Mississippi State quarterback just played his butt off in the second half versus a struggling Auburn defense and finished the day 44-55, 415 yards, and 6 touchdowns as Mississippi State scored 40 unanswered points on Auburn. They were trailing 28-3. They went on to win 43-34. Will Rogers stayed poised, found his receivers, and Jaden Wally, Malik Heath, Mekhi Polk, Austin Williams, one of his best games of the year in a hostile environment at Auburn. And State improved to 6-4 overall, 4-3 in the SEC. Congrats to Will Rogers. Another winner of the weekend. Look, we'll get to Dan Mullen and company in just a little bit. But Emory Jones, I know it was Stanford. Tip your cap to Emory. 28 for 34, 464 yards, 6 passing touchdowns. Also had 10 carries for 86 yards and a score. So 7 total touchdowns on the day. It was Emory Jones' best game of the season, bottom line. Florida needed every bit of his scoring to get the victory over Samford, but we'll get to the dismal showing by the Florida defense and Dan Mullen in just a little bit. Another winner of the weekend, if you watched the Alabama game, Bryce Young, good as always. I get it, you're playing New Mexico State, so you're supposed to take care of business, but Bryce Young did just that. 21 for 23, 270 yards, 5 passing touchdowns. His numbers on the season, man, really starting to look nice. Over 2,700 passing yards, 28 passing touchdowns to just 3 interceptions. Has not thrown a pick in over a month since that loss at A&M back on October 9th. Bryce Young's name will continue in the Heisman conversation until the end of the season. And look, man, that SEC championship game will loom large. If Bryce Young has a good showing, probably means Bama has to win it. But if he has a really good day, Bryce Young will be right there in the conversation to win the Heisman. Another winner of the weekend, his teammate, Will Anderson. The Alabama linebacker continues to get after opposing quarterbacks. He had 2 more sacks this week against New Mexico State. That brings his season total up to 12. Continues to be one of the leaders for all the big defensive postseason awards out there. And while this Alabama defense may not be as menacing as ones we're used to, Anderson is clearly the leader and the best player on this defense, and he helps set the tone week in and week out. Another winner of the weekend, I'm going with my guy Sam Pittman. It wasn't pretty, but the Arkansas Razorbacks got a 16-13 overtime win in Baton Rouge on Saturday night, and Coach Sam Pittman and his crew improved to 7-3 on the season. They take home the Golden Boot Trophy. Look, winning in Death Valley at night is never easy. It was Arkansas's first win over LSU since 2015. Cam Little, the kicker, knocked in a 37-yard field goal in overtime as Monteric Brown intercepted LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier in the end zone the first part of overtime. After the game, Sam Pittman said, look, it was ugly, it was beautiful, it was all in between, but we kept fighting and we got the win. Arkansas now has a really tough game this weekend at Alabama, but they finish off with a home game against Mizzou. So 8-4, very much in play for Sam Pittman and company. And for context, it's been 5 years since the Razorbacks won 7 games. It's been 6 years since they won 8. So this is a huge step forward for this program, and Sam Pittman is the right guy for the job. He's got some great assistants in Barry Odom and Kendall Briles, but tip of the cap to Sam Pittman. He's doing a fantastic job with Arkansas. Another winner of the weekend. How about Jerrion Ealy? On a night where everyone expected the Aggie run game to dominate, and Devon Achane certainly had his moments, it was the Ole Miss backfield that dominated the most. Led by Ealy, 24 carries, 152 rushing yards. He also had 4 catches for 34 yards. Jerrion Ealy has really become one of the better rushers in the SEC, and he was a big reason why Ole Miss was able to beat Texas A&M 29-19 in Oxford on Saturday night. The win improved the Rebels to 8-2 on the year. Matt Corral, he threw for 247 and a touchdown. The Ole Miss defense did just enough, not one but 2 interceptions off Zach Calzada, and a good win for Ole Miss, spoiling A&M season. Another winner of the weekend. We're not talking enough about Tyler Beatty at Missouri. He's one of my favorite players in the SEC this year, and the Mizzou running back had 34 carries for 209 yards and a touchdown in Mizzou's 31-28 win over South Carolina. Beatty also had 5 catches for 22 yards. Beatty is now 4th in the country in rushing yards. He leads the SEC in rushing by almost 200 yards ahead of Chris Rodriguez at Kentucky. For the voters out there, please put Tyler Beatty on your all-SEC, you know, postseason award list, whatever. He is clearly the best running back in the conference this year. He's got 12 rushing touchdowns. That's second to only Brian Robinson, who has 14 for Bama. But when you consider Missouri is 5-5 on the year, they could be winless if they didn't have Tyler Beatty this year. He is the heart and soul. He is the centerpiece, the focal point of their team. Team's game plan for Mizzou, and they say, we got to slow down Tyler Beatty, and he still goes out there and performs. He's so good, and he deserves every bit of the recognition this year, being the star of that Mizzou team. Lastly, my final winner of the weekend, I'm going with Josh Pascal at Kentucky, the edge rusher at 2 sacks. In the Wildcats' 34-17 win over Vanderbilt. He hasn't had a ton of sacks this year, like a lot of people were predicting, but he came up big this week in a group that includes J.J. Weaver, DeAndre Square. They did what they needed to do to snap their team's 3-game losing streak, and they improved to 7-3 on the season. The Cats finished with a home game against New Mexico State this week and then a road trip to Louisville. So a 9-3 finish, still very much in the cards for the Cats, and those are our winners of the weekend. Thank you guys again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Coming up next, we'll get to our depressed losers of the weekend. That's coming your way next. If you're a college football fanatic out there, I'm sure you've tried Prize Picks by now. We've been talking about it since the start of the season. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and I know you guys will too. If you haven't downloaded the app, get on it right now. Download it. It is such a cool way. Look, there's ways to play fantasy football with your friends and NFL and all that kind of stuff season long. This is basically just for the week. You want to play fantasy football on Prize Picks. You want to do matchups. You know, you can do NFL. You can do college football. You can do basically whatever you want. They offer any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdown score to interceptions thrown, over, under on rushing yards, passing yards, whatever it is. Prize Picks has got you covered. And for all of our users that sign up right now and you deposit for the first time, when you use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, you're going to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. Use their award-winning app right now. You can find it on the App Store and the Google Play. Entries can remain 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prize Picks is safe. They offer fast withdrawals. Check them out right now. You can go to their website, prizepicks.com. Use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, or go to the App Store. Download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Run along here, Locked On SEC. We gave you our winners of the weekend in SEC Week 11. Now let's get to our depressed list. Who depressed us this week? Who were our losers of the weekend? And we got to start in Gainesville with no other than Dan Mullen. I really had to question watching this game. I do the multiple TV thing, so I'm watching all the SEC games every week. I really had to question if Dan Mullen was trying to get fired in this one. The FCS level Samford Bulldogs came into the Swamp and gave the Gators all they could handle. They led 42-35 at halftime. And yeah, the Gators did come back to win 70-52. This was one of the oddest results I think we've ever seen in Florida history. The 42 points of the first half were the most points Florida has ever allowed in a half. It surpassed the 38 they gave up to Florida State in 1992. It is the most points Florida allowed in a game against an FCS opponent ever since the FBS-FCS split in 1978. Certainly firing Todd Grantham a week ago seemed like the right move. But my goodness, this was straight up embarrassing for a Florida defense that has become synonymous with having NFL caliber talent every year. Unbelievable. And you really have to wonder if Florida should keep Dan Mullen. I know you got buyout money and all that kind of stuff, but his name is on the hot seat, remains on the hot seat. And man, he needs to win these last two to save face for the Florida Gators. Another loser of the weekend. I hate to do this because everybody says he's such a good guy and a nice guy, but Christian Robinson, Florida's interim DC. So many people talking about this guy saying, great opportunity for the Gators linebacker coach. Been a grad assistant at several other SEC schools. He's just 31 years old. Could be a nice up-and-coming name to keep an eye on out there. Instead, his group gave up over 500 yards of offense to an FCS school, and they needed over 52 from their offense to get the win. They had two sacks. They had an interception, but it was not nearly enough, and Christian Robinson's group is going to have to try something completely different this week if they are going to get a win up at Missouri. Another loser of the weekend. How about Brian Harsin? An absolute second-half collapse by the Auburn offense, defense, special teams, basically everything by Auburn. I think the stat was Auburn was 63-0 when they led by 25 or more points in a game. Well, not anymore. It was almost like a different team came out of the locker room at halftime. Auburn made some big plays in the first half. Javarius Johnson, 57-yard touchdown run. Tank Bigsby was running it well. But out of the half, trailing 28-10, it was all Bulldogs. As Auburn went punt, missed field goal, punt, turnover on downs. While State, they went touchdown, 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 touchdown. Mississippi State's 43 points were the most Auburn has allowed at home to an unranked opponent in 25 years. I think we do need to give Mike Leach a little more love here. He's been at Mississippi State less than two full years, and he already has wins at LSU, at Texas A&M, and now at Auburn. Seems to be doing a pretty good job overall. But, man, there is nothing more to say than an absolutely embarrassing collapse for Auburn in a game that they had all the momentum early in this one and put to bed any thought of, oh, maybe if we win the Iron Bowl, maybe we can get to Atlanta. That's done. Brian Harsin, all the goodwill he's built up all season long, out the window on this one. It's a rough one. But hang in there, Auburn. Better things are on the horizon. Another disappointment, loser of the weekend, Coach O and LSU. I know Coach O's already been fired, and he's just finishing this thing out for LSU, but man, two very winnable games these past 2 weeks. The one in Alabama and the one this past week against Arkansas. You could argue LSU should have won both of those games, but alas, they did not. With the overtime loss, LSU fell to 4-6 on the season. It's the first time LSU has lost six games in a season since 1999. They are one loss away from their first losing season since 1999. Let me put that in context for you. That was the year before Nick Saban left Michigan State to take the LSU job. In other words, it has been a long time, over 20 years, since LSU football has been this bad. So you kind of understand the move being made now, and LSU is on their head coaching search already. We'll see in the coming weeks who they hire to move this program forward where they should be. By the way, Arkansas, they were 0 for SEC for 2 years before Sam Pittman arrived. Sam Pittman has now beaten Texas, Texas A&M, LSU, Mississippi State, and was a two-point play from beating Ole Miss on the road this year already. Very impressive what Coach Pittman is doing. And our last loser of the weekend, I'm throwing Jimbo Fisher in here. What the hell was that, Jimbo? The Aggies were one of the hottest teams in the country, riding a four-game win streak ever since that big win over Alabama. You had a dominant defensive performance a week ago against Auburn. But this week, their defense could not slow down the Ole Miss offense. Zach Calzada threw two interceptions. And the Aggies had a disappointing 29-19 loss in Oxford. The loss threw out any chance of the Aggies potentially playing for an SEC championship this year, all but locking in Alabama as the West representative. And that big defensive front led by DeMarvin Leal and Tyree Johnson coming on so strong in recent weeks. They had just one sack on the day. Matt Corral, Jerry Neely and company went to work on them. And there you have it. Those are our disappointed losers of the weekend. Thank you guys again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Coming up next, we'll hit on some honorable mentions for Week 11 in the SEC. Always fun to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. I don't know what to tell you guys. If you haven't tried Built Bar by now, what are you waiting for? Go to their website right now, built.com. You can check out all they have to offer. They say it's a protein bar, but you'll swear you're eating a candy bar. It does not taste like a protein bar. A lot of those protein bars out there are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to chew or swallow. Not with the Built Bar. Of course, when you bite into one, you'll swear you're eating something different. They are low in carb, low in calorie, low in fat, low in sugar, high where it matters most in protein. You just got finished a workout. You want to grab a Built Bar. All the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. So many flavors. We tell you all the time that mint brownie is my personal favorite, but you got coconut, almond, salted caramel, double chocolate. There is something for everybody. Go check them out right now at their website, built.com. They're coming out with a new limited time flavor about every 3 to 4 days. So you want to check out their website very often and see what new flavors they are throwing out there. But when you find something you like at their website, go to built.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15. If you've never ordered from them before, you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Rolling along here, Locked On SEC, and we've touched on our winners and our losers. Sometimes there's just some guys that are kind of in between, maybe some guys who lost a game but they deserve a shout-out, maybe some guys who were part of a win but maybe didn't factor a whole lot into it, just need a shout-out, a tip of the cap, and so that's why I do some honorable mentions. So let's jump into it. Our honorable mentions from Week 11 in the SEC. I'm starting with Cedric Tillman at Tennessee, going against a really good Georgia secondary. The Tennessee wide receiver had a heck of a game. 10 catches for 200 yards and a touchdown. One of those was a 53-yard catch with Javonte Payton leaving the game early. Tillman stepped up in a big way and now has over 700 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns on the season. He's top 5 in the SEC in receiving yards now. He's even ahead of the likes of Dontario Drummond and John Mechie. That's how good of a year Cedric Tillman is having. So shout out to Cedric Tillman. Even though the Vols lost, he was a big reason why they were even in it in the first place. Another honorable mention of the weekend, I'm going to throw it to Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett. I feel like we're still not giving Bennett enough credit for what he does for the Georgia offense. Against the Vols, he was 17 for 28, over 200 yards and a touchdown. But it was what Bennett did with his legs. 8 carries for 40 yards and a rushing touchdown. He was able to keep drives alive, move the chains with his feet. And we could, in my opinion, dismiss any notion that JT Daniels even comes back at quarterback. It is the Stetson Bennett show, and he's good enough to help lead this team to a national championship. Yes, I have not taken crazy pills. Stetson Bennett is good enough to take this Georgia team, beat Alabama in the SEC title game, beat whoever in the playoff, and beat whoever in the national championship game. Stetson Bennett. Don't make me regret those words, Stetson Bennett. Another honorable mention from Week 11 in the SEC, Brian Robinson, the Alabama running back. 9 carries, 99 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns in their win over New Mexico State. Wasn't all that impressive or, wow, look at that, but it was a much-needed bounce-back performance from a week prior. Remember, Robinson was held to just 18 yards on 13 carries in their narrow win over LSU. LSU just shut down their run game completely. So it was a nice bounce back spot. Robinson now has over 700 rushing yards, 14 rushing touchdowns now. He's having a really nice season as the senior running back for Alabama. Another honorable mention of the weekend, I'm throwing KJ Jefferson in here. Second straight week, the Arkansas quarterback. His numbers were not pretty, but he did just enough to help his team get the victory, and that included keeping some of those drives alive with his legs. 15 carries, 41 yards against LSU, threw a touchdown pass to Dominique Johnson. He is now 7-6 as a starter in his 3 seasons in Fayetteville, 7-3 this year. But again, a lot of times his box score won't look pretty, but KJ Jefferson is a guy that can help guide you to wins, and that is what he has done this season with the Razorbacks. So shout out to KJ Jefferson. And lastly, one more honorable mention for this week. I'm giving it to the Missouri defense. Now look, they have been dreadful for much of this year. They came up big in this win over South Carolina this week. They held the Gamecocks to under 100 net rushing yards just a week after. Remember, they ran wild all over Florida, South Carolina did. Missouri kept them in check. They forced a handful of fumbles. They had three sacks. They had an interception. It's a unit that has just not played well all season, but they deserve some big props for helping preserve a victory over South Carolina. So Missouri defense, probably the only time we'll say it all year, but tip of the cap to you. And there you have it. Those are our honorable mentions for Week 11 in the SEC. That is just about going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. We appreciate you guys for listening, making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen. Check out some of our other great podcasts on the Locked On Network, including Locked On Vols, Locked On Bulldogs, Locked On Gators is a must listen these days with the Dan Mullen drama. And, of course, we'll be getting more into basketball conversation in the coming weeks as football season starts to wind down. Of course, we'll have you covered throughout bowl season and all that, but of course SEC hoops just tipping off this past week, some notable performances as well, so we'll get into that in the coming weeks, and we'll always go around the conference, keep you up to date on news around the conference when it comes to mostly football tidbits. And look, we've already got one coaching search underway with LSU. Are we gonna have any others? Dan Mullen be out of Florida? Will there be any other schools that decide to move on from their coaches? We'll keep you up to date on all that right here on Locked On SEC. I'm Chris Gordy. You guys have a great Monday out there. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow, getting you set for Week 12 coming up ahead in the SEC. This is Locked On SEC. Talk to you guys tomorrow.